Asrada Purusa Dharnasyasya Pantapa Aprapyamam Nivartante Mrityu Samsara Vatmani. Those who are not faithful in devotional service cannot attain, O conqueror of enemies. Therefore they return to the paths of birth and death in this material world. Deinu sinyatade ekoma yugnam jaratatade matrapati yastatam hoyati. Just like in this life, we are passing from childhood to youth to maturity and then old age, and then there will be death, and then again the same cycle repeats itself life after life. So why is it so? That is explained here. If we are not faithful in this devotional service, faithful is a word that means one who has strong faith. But faithful also has another meaning, the meaning of being loyal, of somehow or other loyally continuing our service to Krishna. So loyalty is a big principle. That we, Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, who's seated in the back, he was saying that once you promised, then you gave your word. That was a serious thing. People take initiation. Everyone is recommended to take initiation. And initiation means a vow for life. That we dedicate our life. That is what it means. The day of initiation, we say, my dear Lord, today I'm offering this life to you. And then one has to be loyal, faithful to one's word, and keep that promise. That is sufficient. It is not necessary that we develop great mystic powers. It is not required that we become the greatest learned scholars. It is not required that we fast and fast and fast every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday as well. It is not needed. Not required. In my family, last 32 years, every Monday, Thursday, no, that is not required. But Krishna simply asks us to engage our life in devotional service. In this chapter, this ninth chapter, it is said, Patam Pusvam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhakti Priyasiti Tataham Bhakti Upahitam. It is said that we must offer Krishna a leaf, a flower, a fruit, some water, with love, with dedication. Asnami prayatat manaha. Then Krishna will accept such offerings. And yes, then it said, yet karus, yet asnas, yet yuhusi, nadas, yet tapas, yet kuntiyatat karus, yet manadpanam. It says, then whatever we do, whatever we eat, whatever work we perform, whatever austerity, all these things must be offered to the Lord. And this is what it means to be faithful. This is what is required, that we simply loyally try to offer our activities to Krishna. It's simple as that. One might, in discussing something like faithful, also look at the state of the heart. One might say faithful is a state of the heart, is a certain feeling. But that will follow automatically. That will follow the action. The essence in bhakti is not to try and force a feeling to be awoken. Although bhakti is certainly about feeling, bhakti is aiming at awakening our dormant love for Krishna. To serve Him not only faithfully, but to serve Him with love. Nonetheless, it is not our objective to somehow or other push this feeling out of our heart, but simply to be faithful, to be dutiful, to be loyal, to just be dedicated to Krishna's desire. And if we do so, that translates into love. That translates into a transformation of heart by no other means. Whatever we invest in, that is where our attachment will go. It is our nature to become attached. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. We get attached to everything. People get attached to the place of their birth, although many people are not born in the nicest place. But oh no, this is where I was born. Bhumi Jati, the place of my birth. That is where we need. So, in this way, whatever we associate with, after a while we develop attachment. Even if it is a certain type of trouble, we get so used to it. That is strange if it's not there anymore. This feels like what happens. That's an old Italian story, and the story is that it was a small village, and everyone in the village would complain to the mayor. They would complain and complain and bring their problems to the mayor. And one day the mayor said, "Well, you have all so many problems, you know what? Next Sunday, we will organize an exhibition of everyone's problems." Well, it was a big thing. They were all exposed there, and everyone came and to see, and everyone said, "Oh, look at that one. Oh, that's it. Oh, look at that problem. Shit, I thought I had a problem, but look at this one." So everyone had a great day, a great day. Then at the end, in his final speech, the mayor said, "Wait, I know you have all enjoyed very much, but one thing I must tell you. You've all brought a problem here, and you all will have to take one problem with you. Nobody can go without taking a problem." Gee, what do we do now? They all looked at all the problems again, this time in a different way. Which one shall I take? And in the end, everyone took his own problem. Because we know it, we're used to it. It's sort of, it's part of us. That is the point. That is there. So whatever may be, whatever, we cannot expect that life will be perfect in the material world. Also not when we surrender unto Krishna. Even when we take a devotional service, it doesn't mean that our life will suddenly be trouble-free. "Oh, Krishna, I gave my life to you, and now how can this happen? Such a calamity in my family, how can it happen? I gave my life to you." But, you know, doesn't make sense. Is there a God? Maybe there is no God. No. Krishna never promises that He will fix our material situation. No. Even if you surrender your whole life to Him, even if you serve Him for 99 years faithfully, with love and devotion, no guarantee that at the end there will not be trouble. I mean, but is that what we want? Now I'm speaking about material trouble. Krishna doesn't promise to fix our material conditions of life. Oh no. That will carry on. According to our previous karma, happiness and distress will come. And for our purification, we will undergo some hardships. But that's not important. What we will get, if we will be faithful, is we'll attain an eternal destination. No more birth, no more death. Now that's a good idea. Because it's not that good. It's not that good in this material world. If you think about it, really. I often in this temple give the example, right there the tennis courts and people are sporting and playing, and over there is the hospital. Have you thought about that? It's like, what shall we say? Both sides are well represented. And there's the park, and if you're not careful, you can bug each other there. By the way. So what can we say? This is where we are in the material world. That will not change. But somehow or other. I've even been in gatherings where a devotee of Krishna, had been killed. That's part of the South African pandemonium. That happens. But to a devotee, I thought that Krishna protects his devotee. He does. But not necessarily the body. He protects the soul. The destiny of the soul is what Krishna protects. Body he may or may not protect. Oh, close missile. Oh, Krishna, thank you for saving me. Krishna may save you, Krishna may not save you. That's not Krishna's business, keeping us alive. I'm Chaitanya Hare Krishna, and I've been doing so for 6,400 years, and I'm still not dead because I'm chanting. Hare Krishna, is it like that? No. How old are you?
35.
He's only 95. He's a newcomer, he just started chanting. I'm 6,400. But you know, I keep on chanting so I never die. Okay. That is not the message of the Gita. The message of the Gita is antakala chamandeva smaram tva kalira. Just to remember Krishna at the time of death. That is our objective. Antakala, that's all. Death. Vasamsya janani yada vihaya. It's like changing dress. We change dress, I hope. We change dress, and sometimes, you know, a different outfit just to make a different impression. So, what can we say? We're changing our appearance, our dress. Is it all going on by choice? Is it that after this life you go to some sort of shopping mall and there are many bodies and you can try them out? Yeah, is it like that? I mean, that's how it is at the end of life. You go to a mall and then you choose a body. Karma dayamane trena yantu deva pajate. That is by karma and deva, by our karma and by divine arrangement that we get a new body. So this cycle of birth and death is a dangerous business because you don't know where you'll wind up, what you'll become. Prabhupada many times highlighted this point. He said that one of the prime ministers of India, according to an astrologer, had become a dog in Sweden. Now whether it's true or not, that's another matter. But the astrologer calculated from prime minister in India to dog in Sweden. I'm not sure what is a better life. Anyway, it's very comfortable as a dog in Sweden, you know. But then again, you have to go out in the snow. There's no way around it. So what to do? No matter what our birth is in the material world, there is no birth that is a good birth. Sometimes we look and the grass is greener on the other side. We look at someone else and we just feel a little bit of envy coming up and think, oh, why me and why them? Why are they having all the good fortune? And me, who is many times more intelligent, many times more qualified, and so on, and many times more handsome. Why me? Having all this trouble? We may think envy. But there is no one to envy in the material world. There's no one to look at and to think that this person is having a great life. Nobody does. It may sound a little grim for a Sunday afternoon. No, it is not meant to be that either. We have many nice things in our life. We have nice friends. We have many nice circumstances. We may like the place where we live and so on. But it is not perfect. It is not free from birth, disease, old age, and death. And therefore, basic problems are there in all these conditions. And therefore, we should not become illusioned and enamored by these circumstances. We should not buy a cheap straw hat with "I love Durban" on it. It's not worth it. The hat is not that good. Why wear such a hat? And Durban's not that good either. Why be in Durban? Better, I love Krishna. Because when we love Krishna, then we will never be disappointed. That we find in the story of Dhruva Maharaj. How Dhruva Maharaj was a young boy, but he was a Kshatriya, and therefore he had a fighting spirit and a sense of honor. And Dhruva wanted to sit on the lap of his father, and his father, who had several wives, he was especially under the influence of the youngest one, surprising enough. And he then the youngest one, as Dhruva tries to climb on the lap of his father, the youngest queen says to him, "No, no, you can't sit there. Only those who've taken birth from my womb can sit on this lap." And Dhruva was denied to sit on the lap of his father. That, you know, was an insult. Anyway, he looked at his father, and his father didn't say anything. His father just accepted it. Now that was like what really did it to him. That did it, that his father didn't stand up for him. Then he went to his mother to complain. And his mother said, "Yes, it is true. It is true. There's nothing I can do. She is the favorite of the king. And nothing I can do. I cannot help it." Dhruva couldn't take that for an answer. There must be a solution. There must be a solution. There's only one that can help you. All right, who is it? Only God can help you. Then, all right, I'll go see him. Yes, I will. Where do I find him? Well, it's not sure. It's not sure. What do you mean it's not sure? No. But some say he might find him in the forest. All right. I'm off to the forest, Mom. And that was it. Dhruva was off to the forest. And Dhruva stayed in that forest and did severe austerity, as we know. At one point, he was eating every other day. At one point, he was breathing every other day. And at one point, he just stopped breathing altogether, which is kind of tough for longer than a minute. And Dhruva kept it up. And when Dhruva was holding his breath for such a long time, and yet by dint of his mystic power, maintaining his life force, that's when the whole universe started to choke. And the demigods, they went before the Supreme Lord, prayed to him, and the Supreme Lord came, and subsequently, Dhruva came. The Lord gave darshan to Dhruva. And then Dhruva realized, all alone, he had gone to the forest to get a kingdom greater than that of his father and grandfather. Grandfather was Brahma, by the way, so it's quite bigger than the whole universe. Anyway, that's what he wanted. But when he got the darshan of Krishna, he was already fulfilled immediately. There was nothing more to ask. He was already fulfilled, and not only was he was fulfilled in a way that was greater than what he could have wished for, could have prayed for. It went beyond his expectations. And that is the nature of spiritual realization. It goes beyond our imagination. We cannot imagine it. Even now, our friend of 95 may have spent 90 years studying the Bhagavad Gita every Sunday. But still, he cannot say that he has realized the full purport of the Bhagavad Gita. It's not so cheap. What do you think? That just by 95 years of studying that you can enter, that you can understand the Bhagavad Gita? Or by 6,400 years of studying that you can understand the Bhagavad Gita? Not so simple. One must live the Bhagavad Gita. One must every moment apply the Bhagavad Gita in one's life. Only then does the Gita become meaningful. Otherwise, what are we rendering? Only lip service. Lip service. We recite the verses for 95 years. But that's only lip service. If we don't live according to the Gita. To give our whole life according to the Gita. And the more we try to live our life according to the Gita, then it goes beyond our expectations. One cannot, at the beginning of this path of Bhakti Yoga, which is prescribed in the Bhagavad Gita, one cannot at the beginning understand what will be attained in the end. One cannot understand. It's not possible. One cannot understand what is love of God. How can one understand? How can a child understand what is sex life? You can explain it. There are bees and there are flowers. I think it's that one. Whatever. And you can try and explain to a child what's going on. And the child says, I got it. But the child doesn't have the experience and therefore cannot actually know. In the same way, we may hear about Krishna's wonderful qualities, but because our hearts are shallow, how deep is our love for Krishna? We have given our love to so many things. You see the bumper stickers, I love my car, I love my dog, I love my home, I love Durban, I love... So, what do we love? Everything. Oh, Durban, I love you so much. Cannot go anywhere else. Not possible. Yeah? Just see. But we have given our love to so many other things, and the result is that Bahusaki Anantascha, Krishna says in the Gita, our intelligence has become many branched. Because we invest in all these things. Oh, this will make me happy, that will make me happy. Nice background music. The sound of happiness. So, in this way, we can see what is going on. One has to transfer everything to Krishna, all one's hopes to Krishna. And we know that if we faithfully perform devotional service, that then at the end of this life, we will be surprised as to what we're going to attain.
Where's he going?
Hey.
Bring that here.
Hey. Bring
that. No problem.
Thank you very much. I have the mic here. And when you have the mic, you can take advantage of it.
Hope you don't mind.
So, yes. So this is the amazing thing. Living a life according to the directions of Krishna is not just a life of duty. I said we have to be faithful, we have to be dutiful, we have to be dedicated. But that's not all. That's only the beginning. That's when we start. Then we experience that it is difficult, that there is austerity.
That's
a good
this time.
So, it's a faithful. That is very good. So, and now, in the beginning, we may think, we may imagine what we will attain. What if I follow this bhakti? What will I attain? And we have an idea. But as we are continuing, that idea will grow.
For example, next to me is Tulasi Devi. It is said that in one leaf, in one Tulsi leaf, according to the Padma Purana, all the holy places of the whole universe are in one Tulsi leaf. Not bad, right? So in this way, it's just no one would ever imagine that. If I would have asked most of you to say something about tools, you would have said something. But all the holy places of the whole universe are in tools in one leaf. So that exceeds our understanding. In this way, the results that we are getting for what we are doing, for the smallest service that we are doing, exceeds anything we can imagine. So many of us have taken Tulsi. Not once, not twice, how many times have we taken Tulsi? Have we actually swallowed Tulsi? Then, that purification of all those holy places in the universe, we got it. See? How much effort it would be to go to all the holy places in the universe. Think of it. But simply it can be done by taking one Tulsi leaf. So that is just one example of how beyond our expectation we are being purified. Therefore, we should continue with great, great enthusiasm. Because the benefit we are getting is just inconceivable. Inconceivable. It is just so much more great than we can imagine. That's, don't worry. Then, you know, forget about all these other things, right? All the love stickers, love dog, love car, love dog, love cat, love canary, love house, love my neighbor. Don't worry about it. why just your neighbor? Why just your neighbor? Everybody. And your child, you know. Why just your child? Coochie, coochie, coochie. And that's the monster of the neighbors. Come out of here, you little monster. Why? They're all your children. Oh, look, even the neighbors. There are no borders. Borders are just an artificial arrangement of selfish men who want to exploit the world, who declare, this is our land, and by force, hold it, as if nobody else can come here. Visa. And perhaps it's like dogs. All these arrangements are making people small-minded. So we also naturally have become small-minded. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said to, Krishna says to Arjuna that he has become kshudratma, small-minded. Anarya justava swargyam. Why are you lamenting? It is not befitting a man of learning. This is kshudratma. This is small-minded. One must be mahatma, great-minded. One must be... It is said that the small-minded man is a miser. Kripala phalahetava. The miser is trying to enjoy the fruits of his labor. So he gets to I and mine and put fences around it. This is mine. And tries to enjoy the fruits of his labor. But the mahatma, the great soul, he gives. He gives generously. He gives everything. Not only his possessions, but he gives himself. So that is bhakta. That is devotional service. That is devotee. To give oneself wholeheartedly, not only to Krishna, but to his devotees. And to see how every living being potentially is a devotee. And because every living being is potentially a devotee, therefore we should somehow or other awaken that devotion in every living being. Therefore, for example, prasada for all, because it awakens devotional service, the holy name, widely distributed, books flooding the planet, because they can transform the mind, transform the heart, and bring one to the point of surrender. Of the initial surrender. For a long time, devotional benefit is in the category of agyata sukriti. Just like the birds that live here, many birds live here, when the sun sets, they scream like everything every night. But these birds, they are devotees. They have for so long taken prasad. Even those fish must have taken some prasad by now. So, even the trees are hearing the chanting of the holy name. So all these living entities here in this compound have also become devotees. But the benefit they got is agyata sukriti, unknown spiritual benefit. But when one gets more purified, then one consciously chooses to serve Krishna. This is the point. So the books are very important, because the books can bring people to that point where they knowingly choose to serve Krishna. So now I will give my life to Krishna. And it is not only once that these books do that. that these books will bring a person once to the point where he knowingly says, I'll give my life to Krishna. Every time one reads the books, they do it again. Therefore, we must read these books again, not only to come to Krishna consciousness, we must read these books, but every day again, we need to be convinced again, do I really want this? Am I really sure that I want this? How much do I really want this? For 95 years, already around. 95 long years. But how much do we really want this Krishna consciousness? How much do we really want it? If we would really want it, we would put all our faith in Krishna. We see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he just gave the example. Everything for Krishna. Everything. His mother was old. His wife, 16 years old. Very young. And he left home to take sannyas. Wasn't that irresponsible? To say the least. Yeah. No, really. I mean, how could he do such a thing? Is this what it's all about? Leave an old mother and leave a young wife, 16 years old, unprotected. What's going to happen? No, that's not what he did. He did not leave them unprotected. He left them protected because he prayed. He prayed to the Supreme Lord, Krishna. Please give them your shelter. Please protect them. And in exchange, I will dedicate my whole life to you. This is sannyas. Sannyas is not divorce. Sannyas is not, I'm sick and tired of you. I can't see your face no more. To the loo. I'm out the door. I'm going to take sannyas. It doesn't work like that. No, it doesn't work like that. The sannyasi prays. And the sannyasi places his family members in the hands of the Supreme Lord.
Yeah, you know. That's easy.
No. And then he purchases the Lord by his surrender. By completely giving everything to the Lord, then he purchases the Lord. And then the Lord will take him. See how it works. Therefore, any material calculation that I have to stay, I have all these, it only means that we are just watered down. That's what it means. Half-baked. Half-baked bhakta. Bhakta Abbas is the Sanskrit for that, which translates as a dim reflection of a devotee. Bhakta Abbas. Yes, we have Nam Abbas, a dim reflection of the holy name, and we have Bhakta Abbas, a dim reflection of a devotee. So, somehow or other, it has to come to the point, everything for Krishna. Yet Karusi, yet Asnasi, yet Juhusi, yet Asi, yet Tapasi, yet Sikonti, yet Tad Karusi, Mataratana. Every moment for Krishna. Everything for Krishna. Sometimes indirectly, work for the boss, take his money and use it for Krishna. That's fine. That's okay. But everything for Krishna. Sanam or other. So if we do that, then as we are carrying on in the devotional service, then our vision increases and increases, and we begin to appreciate more and more how wonderful the results are of this devotional service. Something we cannot see at first. Therefore, we cannot understand the Gita. I've often told that somehow or other, before I came to this movement, I had been in India and I got some knowledge from India because the culture of the Gita still exists in India, especially at that time. And then later I got the Gita, and I was still smoking cigarettes, and I was blowing rings of smoke through rings of smoke. I was good at it. And I was reading the Gita at the same time. And I was like, yes, 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 I know all this. And now, today, as I'm looking at this, I realize there is so much more to know than I know, than I know now. But somehow or other, by Krishna's grace, I know more now than I did then. Because at that time, in reading the Gita, at one point, I decided, yes, I should dedicate my life to this. And then I tried, half-hearted, half-baked, but kept up a show, a good one, kept up a good show of surrender, but in reality, it was half-baked. I guess I hope to one day get to three-quarter baked, but still not there yet. But somehow or other, even if one practices devotional service in a half-baked manner, still one becomes purified. One makes advancement. And maybe one day we'll come to the point where we'll say, yes, I really want to give everything to Krishna. I really want to. Maybe one day that day will come. Who knows? When or when that day will come. When or when that day will come. Who knows? And if it doesn't, then what? Are we then in this category? Asravadana pursa dharmasyasya parantapa aprapyaman nivartate mrityu samsara vakmani. Those who are not faithful in this devotional service cannot attain or conquer enemies. Ever they return to the path of birth and death in this material world. Is that what happens to us then? No, there's still one more element. The element of mercy. That even our partial surrender in devotional service can attract so much mercy of Krishna. Because Srila Prabhupada mentioned that point, that Krishna is more eager for us to go back to Godhead than we ourselves are to go. So that is very, very nice. That Krishna is there. Evam evam kalpam tam aham ajnana tamah. Krishna, he's within the heart. Nasyami abhava stu. He resides within the heart of everyone. And if we are not fully surrendering, then still he reveals transcendental knowledge from within. He will help us. He will help us. He will make arrangements. But sometimes it comes a little rough. Sometimes, like when you fly out of the car, I flew out of the car with about 90 kilometers. I was flying. And then I landed on grass, that was my good fortune, on the part that we use for sitting. I didn't sit for a while. It was definitely, no more sitting for a while. That was definitely intense. Yeah, so. Somehow or other, sometimes softly, sometimes strongly, Krishna will push us along the spiritual path. Therefore those who give their life to Krishna, they will very quickly get His full mercy. And they realize that even while being here in the material world, internally they're already in the spiritual world.
I saw a question answer sheet going on. Is it still going?
So, about the material world, and we are ultra optimistic about spiritual life. And that is really a Vaishnava outlook. Pessimistic about material life. People sometimes say, oh, there are so many nice things. Why are you not appreciating them? No. About material life, pessimistic. About spiritual life, ultra optimistic. It's amazing how much benefit we get from emotional service. We often hear to pray for the devotee when they are sick. What we are actually praying for, because as you said, ultimately left to Lord Krishna. So why pray in the first place? True. Anyway, when devotees pray for devotees for their health, they don't just pray for health, that a person is going to become healthy so that they can walk around in a tight swimming suit on the beach and just, you know, enjoy the sights of the earth. When we are praying for the health of a devotee, we're praying that that devotee may get health so that that devotee can continue devotional service and become more and more advanced in devotional service. So therefore our prayer is ultimately spiritual. It's for spiritual life. When I pray, please make this devotee healthy and give this devotee a lot of material enjoyment. No, we're not praying. We're praying destroy all material enjoyment. Completely. And give this devotee pure devotional service. That is our prayer. Any other life question? Yeah. No life. Or no question. Till what time is it going till 5 officially?
We do Guru Puja.
Huh?
We do Guru Puja.
We just continue with Guru Puja.
Okay, then we'll end up and we'll continue with Guru Puja. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.